I want to say, first of all, that we're glad to be here tonight. It's a real privilege to be here tonight. We've got a good crowd. Appreciate the people being out and coming in tonight. Kind of reminded me a few nights back when we was down in South Georgia. Brother John had the tent up down there, him and Brother Red, and I went down and went to get me a seat, and I thought for a little while that I wasn't going to get a seat. I kept looking in the tent for a seat, and tonight when I come up to look for a place to park, it looked like I wasn't going to get a place to park. I noticed the cars is all up this way and all out this way, and the other side and the other side, parking lot full too. So I didn't think I was going to get a place to park for a little while. But anyway, we thank the Lord for you being here, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. First time I've ever been in this place. We've had revelation concerning Utica Pike, and we spoke of it months and months ago, and spoke of this meeting that would take place here months and months ago. And of course, there's some people out of Georgia that are familiar with these things that will be up doing the meeting. But this is a great turn of events. I don't know just how spiritual you are. I'm sure that some of you are very spiritual. And I'm sure that we must have some little babes in Christ here. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then he also said, feed my sheep. And for many years, we've been watching the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same prophetic mind that revealed itself as the foreknowledge of God to the prophets of old when they perceived in part and went into the cities and said, thus saith the Lord. The same mind that's been working, whereas the Bible said in time past, God has spoken unto us in divers manners and sundry times. He's done it by the prophets. But now he has spoken in the latter days or the latter times to us by his Son, in that it's written in the Scriptures that they all shall be taught of God. And in that it's written in the Scriptures that he has spoken unto us by his Son, even though we still have prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers in the church for the perfecting of the saints, yet God has promised not only to minister a perfection through the ministry to the church, but in that the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he promised that he would speak to us through the membership of that body. And that it would edify, one member would edify another, that there would be gifts of the Spirit in the church, and that men and women alike, boys and girls, even down to the handmaidens of your daughters and sons in the latter times, shall prophesy, and there shall be an edifying from one to another in the increase of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then in speaking to you tonight, I am reminded of what the Lord had showed me concerning some things that I said would come to pass at a certain time. Brother Taylor, all here, is familiar with quite a few things. He stays close to us. And this is one of them. And even though you might not understand it, what's happening here in Utica Pike, a simple little get-together with a few down-to-earth people, will affect the entire universe. Not just the world, but the entire universe. The little meeting here in Utica Pike. Now it is simple, folks, just come together to worship and love the Lord and do what we can. But the mind of God has shown great things. And a lot of times in talking, I'm often reminded of the vision where we stood and we was suspended between heaven and earth and looking. And we saw great things taking place in heaven. And as we saw these great things taking place in heaven, we turned and we saw a great multitude on the earth that was looking in this direction. And as I saw these things, I was turned and I was talking to somebody which seemed to be Christ. And then I turned to look at this multitude that was looking in this direction. And I was excited over what I had seen. And I began to share it with the people that were standing on the earth. And as I began to share it with the people that were standing on the earth, I suddenly became aware of the fact that they did not see it. And it was very alarming to me in the vision. I kept saying, don't you see right here what's taking place? And the voice kept ringing out through the elements and up in heaven. You know, the Lord suspends us into the Spirit. How many of you know that? Amen. He said to John, come up here. Amen. Come up high. There was a door open in heaven. And the prophets of old was caught up into heaven to speak. And as I turned and looked around, I saw that the people did not see this thing. And instead of looking at the heavens and hearing this voice, they kept looking right straight at me. And I become very alarmed, and I turned and I said, "Look." I said, "Look." I said, "Look at what's taking place in heaven." And they kept looking, but they kept looking at me, and I suddenly became aware that they did not see it. But my friend, tonight things are taking place in heaven. As sure as I stand here tonight, as sure as we live, things are taking place in heaven. And no doubt many of you see it, but there are some that do not see it, and yet it is taking place in heaven. The voice kept thundering out through the heavens, and the voice kept saying, "I want a David. I want a David." So tonight, God is looking for a David. God is looking for a David. I answered the voice back and I said, "God, I'll be your David." And I hope tonight that not only I can answer God like that, but I hope that every person that's here tonight can answer that voice and say, "God, I'll be your David." You say, "Why would God want a David?" The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. And he likened David to the Son of Man that he would raise up as the good shepherd in the end time to bring the people into the millennium and rule as the Lord Jesus Christ there in the days that are to come. Now I'd like to read just a little bit. I love to kind of hold a mic in my hand. I'm used to holding one in my hand. It makes it a little better when you're a horse, you know, when you preach. We appreciate your pastor and Brother J.T. giving us opportunity to be here and talk to you concerning the things of God. We really appreciate it from my heart. And if I scream at you sometimes, well, just don't get alarmed. They do that when they're playing baseball and basketball and television, all kinds of things, movies. So don't get alarmed, and it won't bother you. I mean, it really won't hurt you. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me over to the book of Genesis and the 25th chapter of Genesis. It says here in the 21st verse, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." There's some great things here that right away that I see, perhaps I would never be able to get across. But there's one thing that we're told here, is that these two sons, here as these babes struggle within the womb, that there, even at that present time, that there was a conflict between two powers. It is pointed out in the Scripture that there was two powers that were struggling together, and one trying to raise up above another. And when she went to inquire of God, God said to her, said that this represents two nations. Now, we know that that was natural nations to the Jew, and we know that the conflict between these nations pointed back to Abraham's children, where there was a conflict between Isaac and the bondswoman's son. The same conflict that was between Cain and Abel, the same powers wrestling between the churches of today. There is a church that is spiritual today, and there is a church that is natural today. There is a church that is fleshly and covetous, that it caters to the things of the flesh. And then there is a church that is spiritual, that caters to the things of God and are not interested in the things of the world. These two churches are still fighting.
opposite. It still does the same thing. If there is a spiritual moving in the church or in the community, if there is a spiritual flurry that comes up, if there is a real Holy Ghost revival, then the modern day churches will make fun of it and try to start some revival or some protracted meeting to where they can stop the move of God. And it's always that the bondswoman child, that is to say he that is born after the tree of knowledge, he that is born after the flesh, he that caters to the intellectual powers of mankind, is always leaning to his own understanding and always mocking the mind of Christ when it's in action. I notice that in the story of Cain and Abel, that jealousy was the cause whereby Cain killed Abel. It was jealousy. Even though the modern day preachers and the modern day Christian, as you would call them, these people, most of them, have all kind of wealth. They have all kind of intelligence. They have everything that heart could wish for in the natural. But there is something that makes them jealous of the real spiritual children of God. The reason is because they perceive that these people have an eternal inheritance and not a temporal inheritance. Amen. And it's the same way as it was with Herod. The Bible said that these tidings of the Christ child, that it vexed Herod, and the tidings that there was to be another king to come in the world, it vexed him because he was afraid of losing his will. He was afraid of losing his kingdom. The Bible said concerning the Antichrist, though in the days of the Antichrist, when he sets up his kingdom, he'll have a great dominion, have great power. But the Bible said that tidings out of these shall trouble him. There shall be tidings that shall come out of these, and those tidings shall trouble him. Why? Because he knows that it's the end of his kingdom. Is that right? He knows that it is the end of his kingdom when this great Christ comes into the world. When Moses was born down in Egypt, what did they do? Immediately, they sent out and tried to kill all the male children. Is that right? When Herod heard about Jesus, that there was a king to be born, he sent out a decree and he tried to kill all of the children. It's the same way that in the days that we live in. I made the statement the other night in Hamilton that at this very present time that the governmental powers of the world are trying to close in on the churches, and you've got to have a sizable body before they'll even let you operate. Why is this? Because it is preordained of God that there is a new message that is coming into the world that's going to destroy Antichrist. And Satan knows it, and he's laying wait, and he's trying to kill any new spiritual move that comes up. He feels like he can handle the moves he's already got, but he doesn't want anything new coming up. But I thank God for one thing. Jesus said, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. God is doing new things every day. He's always got something new. That's what makes it so exciting for us to serve God, is because God does something new all the time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Satan wants to kill out the children of God. He wants to stop this move. It was at the time when Mary was headed with child, and she was going up to Jerusalem, that became a great taxing over the land. Headed with child, a Christ child was about to be born. And we made a prediction that it would happen, that it would occur the same way in the church of today. And right at this very hour, when the church is heavy with child, when she's just about ready to bring forth the man child, right at this time when she's in great travail, and she's about to bring forth the deliverance, it's right at this particular moment when Satan is closing in. Is that right? And a great taxing is coming over the world, and already they're passing a law that the churches will be taxed.
Right.
It's the same thing, the taxing of the churches. They had to go up to be taxed. The thing is sweeping over the world. And I said the other night, it was at that hour when that woman stood upon the moon and she that woman stood upon the moon. Revelation 12 said she stood there. It was at that hour that she was in hard travail. Is that right? She was in hard travail because she was about to bring forth. She had her foot set upon the moon. And God giving us an antitype of it, America being the woman nation. Right tonight, America's footprint is on the moon. It's been emphasized, it's been posted on the buildings, on the cards, and in the places where you drop in the post office to mail your letter. It's emphasized the footprints on the moon because the woman has reached a high place. In the spirit, the church is in a high place tonight. It's been lifted up into a high place. And the Bible said that at the very time that this woman was ready to be delivered, that the red dragon lay right in and around that she might defile the man child just as quick as it was born. And he spoke the other night of that being the communistic powers in the air time. How the communist, the red dragon, is waiting to devour this man-child that will be the Pope of Rome, which is the antitype of the true man-child that the church is to bring forth. God doing everything in the natural that he might illustrate the spiritual, that he might unveil it, that he might speak to us through the intelligence of God. Hallelujah. And here, communists back over here, waiting and laying in, can't get them in the United Nations like they want them to be, always rebelling, always staying away, and even if they line up with the United Nations or whatever it is, it's in a deceitful manner, waiting to strike at that power that they know one time dominated the world. China has always been referred to as the sleeping giant. We've always been told, don't awake the sleeping giant. Is that right? Don't awake the sleeping giant. But now she is awake, and she's begun to move through the earth with a great thunderous power of the multitude of her kin. She's beginning to take over the world. I read the paper how that she gave a warning when America began to move in over here to Vietnam. China boasted, published a piece, and said, we warn you that you don't touch the borders of China. Said, because if you do, we'll get you. She meant every word that she said. That's right. They would rise up, and they would come against us and not take anything about it. They tell me that you could line those people up and just kill them with a machine gun. Just take a machine gun and line them up so many abreast and kill them in a continual flame and let them keep coming. And never kills them out. Says it multiplies faster than you can kill. Why? It's that sleeping giant that's risen up. It's that communistic power that's indoctrinated China and is sweeping across the world. The Bible said that red dragon wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down into the earth. Is that right? And you can see in the antitype that communism in the foreign countries over there now is curling itself around many nations. It's wrapping itself especially around the dark people and taking advantage of their illiteracy, and he's casting them down under his power that he might trample on them just exactly like the Bible said he would do. It's the satanic force. It's Satan in a veil working. And God has let us, he has allowed us to be able to see these two things as we journey through the earth, that we might be ready at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the other night, the Bible said that at the midnight cry, that the entire body of humanity was asleep. The virgins were asleep at the midnight cry. Oh, how we love to comfort ourselves as being Pentecostals and tell ourselves that we're not asleep. We love to say the Baptist is asleep. We love to say the Methodist is asleep. And we love to say that the others are asleep. But my friend, the Bible said at the midnight cry that every virgin was asleep. There wasn't a foolish virgin that was awake. There wasn't a wise virgin that was awake. Every virgin was asleep. When that midnight cry came, every virgin was asleep. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about this Apollo. This Apollo 17 that they're fixing to send up. We was talking with the brethren about the other night. Causing this thing, how that Apollo means the devil in Greek. And how that they've chosen this when the Bible said the red dragon was laying there for the Roman. How that this Apollo, listen, that was called that in the Greek of what it meant. And here it's laying in there, the communistic powers. I made the statement that only the Pope was allowed to see any religious indoctrination up in back to the things of God.
Amen.
China laying in there. The communistic powers waiting to overthrow us.
Amen.
Just waiting for the chance. And that man-child, the Pope of Rome, which is the end of time. We know that in the dark age, in the room of the rod of iron, Daniel said in his visions that he would magnify himself. That blue horn would magnify itself above all the people and even exalt itself to the heavenly host. Is that right? And would cast down some of the heavenly hosts. Folks, we are they that dwell in heaven. The Bible tells us that we who are children of God, that we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoration, our restoring of that which is out in the millennium, the restoring of all things, we are hid with Christ in God. We are caught up in the Spirit tonight. We are staying with God in the Spirit, waiting for the time when God will make Himself known to us in such a way that these bodies will be changed and be glorified into the image of Jesus Christ. We are waiting tonight, but that inner you, that inner man, that inner woman, that's been born again, it's been translated into the kingdom of God. Because the Bible said when the man child was born, that immediately it was caught up into the presence of God. Every born again child of God that comes down to the altar or gets down beside a bed or gets kneels down in the field or sits in a car calling upon the name of the Lord, wherein their new birth, that spirit is caught up into the presence of God. It's caught up to the throne of God. For just as quick as that man child comes on the scene, God pulled him up out of the things of the flesh, out of the things of the world. He brings him up into his presence.
Hallelujah.
He's sealed under the day of the redemption of the body. Satan can't touch him. He's without spot. He's without wrinkle. He's without blemish.
Yeah.
Oh, how we stumble. And oh, how we stagger. And oh, how we feel cast down. Paul said, cast down, but not forsaken.
Yeah.
Killed all the day long. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter, but in this we're more than conquerors through Christ and love us. For it's that I'm persuaded that nothing can take us from the love of God that was manifested at Calvary in Christ Jesus. My brother and sister and I, there's nothing can take us away from that. There's nothing that can strip us of the righteousness of God that's been given to us in Jesus Christ. That inward man has been sealed. That inward man has been caught away. That man's child has been hid with God all down through the ages, even from the time of Calvary, from the time of Pentecost, caught up into the presence of God. And this outer man is dead. He's dead. You say, but Brother Park, I make so many mistakes. I do too. You say, but I stumble so many times. I do too. You say, but it just looks like there's no hope for me sometimes. I feel the same way. Amen. Paul preached joy, peace, and righteousness in serving God, and then turned right around and said, I bear your record that in my heart there's continual sorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because of the oppression of the body.
Amen.
Because the powers of evil are oppressing the body.
Amen.
Not that there is any defiling of the Spirit, for Satan cannot touch that which is in the Spirit.
Amen.
It's filled by the Holy Ghost. Bring it to it. Light and darkness can have no fellowship. And my friend, tonight you're full of light. And the powers of darkness can be close to it.
Yeah.
Amen. You're protected tonight. You're the light of the world. But the Bible says the midnight cry, that all of them was asleep. Their light had gone out. Is that right? At the midnight cry, their light had gone out. The religious light of them that felt that they were so sanctimonious, their lights had gone out. Those that had a special feeling, that God had a special feeling toward them, the Bible said their lives had gone out. Them that were so sure that they were leaders of the blind, the Bible said their lives had gone out. The Baptist lights had gone out. The Methodist lights had gone out. I made a statement not too long ago. I made the statement, I said, now, according to what the Holy Ghost says, that these great leaders that's on the field today will begin to black out. Men like Jack Cole, men like A.B. Allen, men like Billy Graham, men like Jill Osborne, men like William Branham, the great leaders of this age, I said they'll begin to go out because there's got to come a gross darkness on the people. I said
Anthony said to us, they lay down and would die. And we spoke out of things. I said, in just a little while this will happen. It came to pass in a short while. Then the Lord said to me, he said, oh, Robert shall fall away from God in his old age. I said it years ago, he's done just exactly that. And then God spoke to me and showed me how these others would go into apostasy. And now T.L. Austin, which I believe to be the greatest missionary in the world, has begun to let his hair grow up like a hippie. And he's turned hippie. What's the matter with it? It's because God's done it. Their lights were going out, my friend. These great champions, these great leaders, the church light is going out. It's going out. It's just like Israel was over there. The lights have gone out. We are making believe a lot of times. Yeah. Going to church and having our little formality, having our little ritualistic practice. Yeah. But my friend, that will never do the job. Yeah. We've got to have the Holy Ghost back in our midst again. There's got to be a spiritual awakening, a spiritual resurrection, a spiritual return. We're going to have to get up and be about our Father's business.
Amen.
What is it? The church was asleep. Why did it go to sleep? Because they got drunk off of the cares of life.
That's right.
They got drunk off the cares of the world. The Bible said not to let your heart be overcharged with everything cares of this life, lest that day come upon you in a way. They felt like the Lord had delayed his coming. And they decided instead of moving up in God that what they needed was a new home. They decided in here, instead of fasting and moving up in God, what they needed was a new car. Amen is right. It's just like Israel. When God called Israel out of Egypt down there, they gave everything that they had to God. Or come out down there, and just as quick as Moses went away for a little while, or just as quick as they got out there and they thought everything was all right, the first thing they began to do was take their gold and silver and what God had blessed them with out there and turn it into paganistic worship. Is that right? I made the statement when Moses come down off the mountain down there to see what was going on. He had been up there with God and got a revelation, and he come down there to see what was going on. And my friend, when he got down there, instead of finding the power of God among the people, a shout of victory among the people, the Bible said when he came down there, they were shouting over the offering. Turn it into a golden calf. What had happened to the commandment of the Lord? They broke it. They broke it. I made a statement here recently. God called William Branham, I believe, to be a prophet. I believe that he was a prophet among the people. Amen. Like Josephus never said concerning Jesus, but I believe him to be a prophet among the people. I believe that Brother Branham was a prophet among the people. I believe that God sent him right in this age. But I do not believe that Brother Branham was able to light up the last church age. I don't believe he did. If it did, then where is the revival? He himself made the statement that the bride had not received the revival, but that she was to receive the revival. 7 years has passed by and the man has gone off the scene. I made the statement today as we passed by the tomb over here. Somebody said Brother Branham was God. I know that he was God manifested in the flesh according to his measure. Every man and woman is God manifested in the flesh according to the measure. But my friend, the Bible said Jesus Christ was God without measure. For the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. Right. I go by today for being in the tomb. As I went by, I said, Betty, my wife, I'm very fond of my wife. I don't know why I love her so much, too much at first. But anyway, I was talking to her and said, Betty, I said, look at this tomb over here. I said, if Brother Branham is God, I said, where are the people at? I said, I thought they thought a lot of him. I said, well, I couldn't hardly get away from him. They followed him. I said, you know what the difference is? I said, God's gone. If the body's in the grave, if death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Yeah.
I said, that's where God is. I said, it was after God when God left. I said, he's laying out there in the clay by himself.
Amen.
He doesn't appeal to the people anymore. Take Daddy. He's sweet and loving. Mama loves him. All the children love him. But take him and let him lay coal and seal in the casket. Yeah, they might weep a little bit, but they'd rather you just go ahead and put Daddy in the grave. Why? They love him. They love him. They've got news of him. But my friend, the thing that they caressed was that life with him. That was the thing that they caressed. Daddy's gone and moved out of that cell. He's gone over to another world. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel it meet to serve the pure mind. He said, for God show me short, I must put off this my tabernacle.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, you know these things, but I feel I ought to bring them back to your memories.
ought to have a refreshing for us. All right? My friend, tonight we are a spiritual being on the inside. We are sealed under the day of the redemption of God. All right? That you saw in Jacob over there, that wall, that continual wall between the body and between the spirit, that conflict has always been. Is that right? Look at the Arabs over there now. They say that Abraham is our father. And here the Israelites say they were Abraham, our father. And here the Arabs and the Israelites are still fighting over the thing that was to come to pass in the Bible. Is that right? Still the old warfare. Paul said a continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man. He said, abstain from worldly lust, it wars against your soul. He said that we ought to walk in the Spirit, not to fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is the original rendering of the word lust is desire in the Greek. Is that right? Yeah. You look on a woman to desire, the Bible said you committed adultery with her already in your heart.
Yeah.
Is that right? The Bible said, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Is that right? We go through our formalistic, ritualistic practices. My brother, that doesn't please God. He said, away with all of these things that you've done before me. He said, my tables are full of vomit. You're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of the mouth. Is that right? He said, you can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the tables of God. Is that right? Take away your solemn assemblies, he said. Is that right? He said, they're abomination in my sight.
Amen.
Amen. But he's calling for something. Jesus said, Father, I come in the volume of the book. As it is written, the will of God to do thy will. This is what God wants, is Christ within you, the hope of glory. God's looking for Christ in your heart tonight. My friend, it doesn't matter what church you belong to. God's not interested in that. It doesn't matter how much you've been fasting and praying. God isn't interested in that. It doesn't matter how often you come to church, how much time you give. God wants to see Christ in your life.
Amen.
He said, when I see the blood,
I'm glad so
easy. Amen. Nothing will please him but the blood. I made the statement the other night. It sounds kind of radical, but it's true. Is that right? Hallelujah. In the days of Noah, I made the statement there was how many people saved?
Eight.
There was eight people saved. And then the next great move of God came down, the fire rained down from out of heaven. How many of them did they get out over there? They got four out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that right? Well, some of them had to come out. But they got four out. Is that right? Cut it half in two. The next great move of God, when God brought them out of Egypt down there, he brought them out of Egypt. Look at the many, many hundreds of thousands of people that came out. But when he got them out, what did he do? He only saved two of them. Is that right? The Bible said Caleb and Joshua, they had a testimony, and the testimony wasn't saying, oh, my aching back. The testimony wasn't saying, I got this, and I got that, and I got problems, and I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, Christians today, they say, I've got the heartache, and the headache, and the stomachache, and most of it's from eating, and oversleeping, and overriding, and astrology. That's really what it amounts to. But they say, I got problems with finances, that's cause from overbuying. That's what's the trouble. Amen. I've got trouble out of their neighbor. That's because the Bible said that the law of work is no ill to their neighbor. If they hadn't been so hard, they wouldn't have trouble out of their neighbor anyway. The Bible said Jesus grew in favor with men and God. Amen. It's right. Say amen. It's okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's okay. Now what is it? My friend, they discouraged the hearts of God's people. They saw the beauties of God. You people have seen the things of God. I've seen the things of God. We know how beautiful they are. Is that right? The Hebrews 6 says, if you come over and you see these things, and you taste of these things, you've been made partakers of these things, and then after this you fall away. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. He said, in the latter times this will be a great falling away. Is that right? Why is there a great falling away? You say, Brother Pike, you mean you've got a backslide? I'm not talking about backsliders. The Bible said, woe unto you backsliders, for I'm married unto you. A backslider is still the wife of God. Did you know that? I said, a backslider is still the wife of God he's married to. Whoever you're married to is your wife. And he said, I've healed your backsliders. He said, woe unto you. Revelation said one will come and then another will come. That means trouble, heartaches. Trouble with your neighbor, trouble with your body, trouble with finance. It's problems. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Angel said the last three trumpets is whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that right? Is that right? Let me tell you something. I'm married unto you if you're backsliding. But you know the difference between backsliding and falling away? Falling away wasn't to be to the end time. Is that right? You know why it wasn't to be to the end time? because you cannot fall away from something that you don't know. Where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. You've got to have a knowledge of wrong before God required any Christian for any. Is that right? God's a just God. He's not going to require something out of you don't know what you do. Now, you can be willful ignorantly, willful ignorance, and just go along and do these things where Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You can just be willfully ignorant and neglect to study and still sin. It's still sin. But God doesn't require anything from you unless you know it. That's right. The Bible said all the way from Adam over to Moses, that death reigned over the people, over them who had not seen that to the similitude of Adam. Is that right? Why? Because where there's no law, there's no sin imputed. But my friend, when the law came, Paul said, I was alive without the law, but when the law came, sin revived. He said, and I died in death, which I thought was ordained to life. He said, I was found to be unto death. Is that right? He died because sin came alive. He said, through the weakness of the flesh, I couldn't perform that which was in the law, thus making the law weak. Not that the law was weak, but flesh was weak, sinful flesh. He said, but that made the law weak, in that I was weak and couldn't perform it. Though the law itself is just and holy. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, he said. He said, inwardly I delight after the things of God. I have a will, but God said, have a performance as you've had a will. It's good to have a will, but you got to have a performance. Paul said, but I can't find no way to perform it. Oh, wretched man that I am. He said, but in my flesh, my body, there dwelleth no good thing. Who can deliver me from the body of this death, Paul said. And finally he waxed bold, and he said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, that which the law could not do to him that was weak concerning the flesh, he said, God sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful body, in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned Adam's sins, nailed it to Calvary and took it out of the way, and he said, today I am dead to sin, for as many as been baptized into Christ, he said, has put on Christ. Is that right? I want to tell you something about it. If you try to get into the wedding supper without the wedding garment, you're in trouble. And there's only one wedding garment, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only one. And when you're baptized into Christ, you put on the body. Is that right? Now, let me tell you something, Christian men and I. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. And there's a little fire between us in and the outer man. And that body's got to die. If we go to Calvary, we've got a cross to carry. And that cross is your spirit crossing your flesh, and your flesh crossing your spirit. And one of them's got to die. And if we go to the judgment, that is, if we get to the judgment and when we stand there in the presence of God, if we've not killed this body, then that means that we are going to be condemned with the world. If we have killed the spirit by living in the lust of the flesh, that means that we're twice dead and plucked up by the roots. That means a soul thing. But if we kill this outer man, where Paul said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, if we're able to do like Jacob did and overcome Esau, then we're all right.
Amen.
A lot of people are selling their birthright, my friend, for a morsel of bread. They say, well, I started out 20 years ago to live for God. We started out 30 years ago to live for God. I said, well, how are you doing now? Paul said, you did run well. What does he mean? That's why I said, laying aside the weight of sin and all these things that thus reason to set us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Is that right? Not to inherit something corruptible, but an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. If we can overcome. Jesus said, he that overcometh, he can sit down in the throne with me. And he said, if you'll overcome, I'll give you the eat of the hidden manna. Is that right? There is a revelation of Jesus Christ that's in the world today. And the man that can live an overcoming life can have that hidden manna to come down on him. Amen. It'll come down on him. In the wilderness, they ate manna and died. But Jesus said, I'm the true bread that comes down from heaven. My words are the bread of life, he said. My words are spirit, Jesus said. Lest you drink of my blood, lest you eat of my flesh, he said. You don't have any lying things. Is that right?
Amen.
My words are a quickening spirit. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Oh, how unspiritual we are. Paul said, I would speak unto you spiritual sin and stains in Christ. He said, I can't just have to desire sense and work the word. But he said, the meat belongs to the strong. They who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. Got to have a little differentiation. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, what is it? What is it? We're on a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage. We're on a journey from one place to another.
Right.
We're coming out of Egypt on our way to Canaan. We're leaving the world of sight, coming across the world of intellect and heading into the world of faith. Is that right?
Amen.
Gotta go. Can't stand still. Somebody said, but Brother Paul, Pop, what if I don't join the army? Did you know that you're heading into the Spirit? Man was not made to remain a natural being. He was created to, through an evolving process or a transformation of mind, or through a swift transition of time, to go into a spiritual being. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if you're not the predestinated seed of God, if you haven't been born again, my friends, and don't have the mind of Christ, you are going into the image of the beast. Every day you're changing. That's why those bad boys are running around, those girls running around at night like they are. Them girls running around in pants that look like a bunch of snakes. All striping up. That's right. Got the eyelashes painted, their toenails painted, everything else painted like a bunch of freaks. Got to get loose in the night. Them demons going to work in the night. Is that right? Them boys running around with a bunch of, like a bunch of hippies and beavers with long hair. Made the statement the other day, that's them locusts that came out over there. In Revelation, when it said the pit was open, that the locusts come up. Is that right? You said, but Brother Pike, the church had already been raptured. You better wake up! You better wake up! You better sleep!
Amen. Hallelujah.
The locusts came up. The Bible said they had hair like women, and they had faces like men. Had a sting. Is that right? They had a sting. It was bad. That's right. It would kill. They pop that needle in them. Some of them die. You die. Mess around with it. What is it? You say, but them's human beings, Brother Pike. I know, but the devil was to be personified like Christ was. You believe that? God was manifested in the flesh. You believe that? You believe that God, the eternal spirit, tabernacled in the body of Jesus Christ in his fullness? You believe that? The Bible said he had all power in heaven and earth. He controlled everything through the body of Jesus Christ. If he even looks at you, or looks at the world, he's got to do it through Jesus Christ, through the blood. Amen. If he didn't, he'd destroy the world that quick. That's right. He can't look on iniquity. It's through the blood. Moses said, Lord, have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. Just blot my name out. He said, Moses, I won't do that. He said, I'll get the one that's sin. But my friend, he had to do one thing. He had to make himself a body and take the penalty of sin because he can't just forget it. I said, God can't forgive it. It has to be paid for. You say, but he forgave my sins. He forgave your sins because the Bible said Jesus took upon himself our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. Somebody had to bear them. Somebody had to pay for them. That's why we love him. When you think about God just forgiving our sins, that takes Jesus Christ out of the way. But my friend tonight, he's the preeminent one. He's that one to be praised. He paid the price for you. You had to pay it. God made him pay for it. Is that right? He had to hang yonder at Calvary. He had to pay for that sin. He had to pay for your wrongs. God tabernacled in that body of clay. He felt the sting. He was the one that set it in motion. You know that God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. The Bible said God lifts up one and God puts down another.
Yeah, amen.
Is that right? If there's a war, it's because God brought it. David back then, he was having a lot of trouble. Pestilence began to hit, and there was trouble. I mean, he really had trouble in the land, my friend. He went to God, and he said, God, what's the matter? He said, here I am over here without a great kingdom. Everything's going along good. Israel's happy. And all of a sudden, these great plagues begin to break out. So what's going on? God said, David, said Saul in his wickedness, Saul in that evil kingdom of his days, that he killed people. He mistreated people. And he'd done things that ought not to be done. He said, and that's still on the record. And said, it has to be paid for. And said, in the days of your kingdom, God visiting the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children of the third and the fourth generation. Is that right? He said, it's got to be paid for. David said, God, what can I do? He said, you sit down there and get them sons of Saul down there and call the trouble. Bring them out here and kill them. And said, I'll lift this plague. He said, give vengeance. Got to have vengeance. Hallelujah. God doesn't overlook a thing, folks, does he? Amen. He got a good book of remembrance. You say, but Brother Pike, a man said, oh, there nobody had seen. Oh, there was a woman who was all bowed down together, and Jesus loosed her. Somebody said, Lord, said this man is sin, this woman over here said, they sin. Said, did they sin? This happened to them? Well, no. He said, well, did their parents do? He said, no. So who done it? I said, nobody didn't cause that. So that's for the glory of God. Not the sickness, but the healing. Said it was fixed there so I could glorify God to bring you deliverance. Somebody said, but you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that nobody sinned? Well, let me tell you, somebody had to sin. Jesus wasn't saying that. You say you think sin causes sickness? I absolutely say it does. I know that it does. You say, well, who sinned? Adam. Adam in the garden.
somewhere. Is that right? Come down through the generations. Had to come from somewhere. Sin is the cause of the blame for it all. Isn't that right? There has to be. It has to be paid for. And Jesus hung at Calvary, and he that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Amen.
Well,
then
he wanted his
back.
We're close. He just wanted. Now then, he saw in Jacob two nations wrestling against each other, the body and the spirit. Is that right? The body and the spirit wrestling against each other. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. The Bible said we're passing through the land of Esau. Pay your way. Pay your way. Pay your way. Our inheritance is over Canaan on this land. Oh, my, we should have time to bring out some preaching tonight. You love the Lord? You love the Lord? Let me tell you this. I'm going to try to close you. The clock just run away. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. We are a preordained people. We are a predestinated people. We are a God-born people if we belong to Jesus Christ. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you are none of His. I can't help if you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, if you're Catholic, if you're Pentecostal, whatever you are. My friend, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Somebody said, now what about the Spirit? Ain't there seven spirits over there? The Bible said there's but one Spirit, many operations. And if the one Spirit, you say, who is He? He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, that's just exactly the way it is. Paul fed up a coast of Ephesus and said, if you receive the Holy Ghost, let's believe it. Somebody said, but they said all they had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. So you believe that God's respect the person, that somebody could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and God wouldn't give them the Holy Ghost? Now he said, but Brother Pike, the Bible said, just believe. Just believe. Is that right? Well, if you believe there's one God, the Bible says you do well, the devil believes too. If believe is going to take you to heaven, then the devil's on his way. I said he's on his way. He's going to keep you company. But it takes more than that. It takes more than just believing. You've got an intellectual concept of God. You can believe all day long, believe the light will be down, believe you're on your way to heaven, or you're on your way to hell. That's right. But folks, with the heart, man believes about the righteousness. You got a new birth. Get born again. Christ within you, the hope of glory. Paul said, if the Spirit be in you, that raised up Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
He said, that which quickened. That's what we're interested in. The judge of the quickening of the dead. Are you quickening tonight? Do you feel the quickening? That's the resurrection. The quickening Spirit. He said, it shall also quicken your mortal body. There is a tangible inspiration. Is that right? A verbal inspiration. Is that right? There is a quickening, my friend. There is a quickening. Oh, my, we just don't have to stop. It just goes on and on and on. There is a quickening. If you have not His Spirit, then you know, as we stand with me, there's just so many things that I would like to say tonight that seems like it ought to be added to the message. But you've been very kind and very good tonight. Listen real good and thank the Lord for me. We appreciate you. And I trust tonight that everything's well with you. So many things to be said. Jesus said we're done with you. But oh God, give us ears to hear that we might hear what the Spirit said from the churches. Give us ears to hear. There's a man child coming forth. The earth is grown from waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They've got to set everything in order, isn't it right? I love the Lord. We can stick your hands up with you tonight. I feel like if these few nights of meeting, that God is going to do something very special during these few nights of meeting. This is a special event.
Yes.
I hope you're spiritual. I hope you can understand. Jesus came into the world, my friend, but they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. He stood on the mountain and cried, said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen with a bread? But you would not. He said, now your houses are without the anointing. Now your houses are without the Spirit. Now, he said, your little sheep is where you'll be cast out of my presence into the darkness. Now. Now your houses are left unto your destiny until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Until you say, blessed, don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss it, my friend. It's the worst thing that you could ever do. My heart is enlarged towards you tonight. When I think of what God wants the church to know and wants the church to see, it's true. I came eyes for just a minute. While they're playing on the piano, I want you to close your eyes for me. But I want you to examine yourselves and see if you've been with them. My friend, there's no faith except by the word. In the latter days, they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidden to marry, commanding to abstain from meat which God has made to be received with thanksgiving of them that love and believe the truth. In the latter times, a spirit speaketh expressly, some shall fall away from the faith. I've said this so many times. That doesn't mean leaving the Baptist church. That doesn't mean leaving the Methodist church. That doesn't mean leaving the Pentecostal church. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. It means putting your faith in something outside of the word of Christ. That's departing from the faith. Having an evil heart of unbelief, Christian. Now I want you tonight to slip your hands up, close your eyes.
The younger half will receive the message.